I've read earlier a good segment of this gospel, first half of the Gospel of John. I want to focus our attention this morning in my sermon, as I talk to you about the living word, the 14th verse of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, page 1483 in the Pew Bibles, 1483 in the New Testament, in the Pew Bibles, John chapter 1, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." May the Lord bless the reading and preaching and hearing of His holy Word. And if you will, join with me again in a moment of prayer. Now, dear Father in heaven, Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, the one in whom we live and move and have our very being, we come to You, Lord, blessed to be able to come to You in prayer, to be able to cast our every burden and care upon Thee as one who truly does care for us. And we know that You do, that You love us, You care for us, because You sent Your only begotten Son to leave heaven's glory and come here into the world to die for our sins. What a horrible death it was. We cannot imagine in our day and time never having witnessed a crucifixion, much less having felt it. We cannot imagine the agony of the cross. Yet You gave Jesus to come and die for us, die for our sins, shed His blood to wash our sins away. Thank You, Lord. And thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your willingness to do that. Here we're gathered this morning to worship You. There's hope in our hearts today. Amidst this time in which we live, where we're confronted with the coronavirus and its dangers every day, yet there's hope in our hearts. Because You're our God, our Father, and You're in control. You can take care of us. And Lord, more importantly, that heaven is waiting on us one day. One day we'll be in heaven with You forever. That's our blessed hope today. Father, as I try to preach about Jesus this morning, we're coming to close to Christmas, a time we've set as mortals to celebrate His birth. We don't know exactly when He was born, but we set a time our mortals of the past have. And we observe it. We remember that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. So, Lord, help us today to understand some of the great truths of Your Word as they give testimony about Jesus, Thy Son and our Savior. Bless our hearts to embrace them, to rejoice in them, get glory to Your name and to His, and help us, O Lord, to share Your Word with others in this troubled world in which we live, for Your glory and our joy and the joy of others. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. It's an interesting study when you begin to study the fact that Jesus is the Word of God. And I have to be honest, I'm not smart enough, I'm not enlightened enough, that I can tell you exactly what it means to say that Jesus is the Word of God. Many years ago, I ran across an illustration that somebody thought up, and it may be the best we have, I don't know, but it said when there is a magnificent building built, because there was a magnificent architect who designed it, and a contractor who was able to build a structure, and they worked together so as to make that magnificent building. And so the illusion is that God the Father is the architect, that He designed all of the world, and the things that are in it, and Jesus is the contractor. And I know when I say that, it does not do justice to God our Father or to Jesus, but it's just a simple illustration to help us to understand they are united as one indivisible in the great creative work and all the magnificence of it. And I also thought about, as I pondered it, the fact that the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. Then verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So however God the Father and Son worked, whether as an architect and a contractor, I'm sure in a far more perfect way than that, however they worked, when the Word spoke it, it was brought into existence. And that's a blessing to be able to understand that. The first verses that I read to you, let me look at a few of them again. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You understand that means the Son of God is the Word of God, and He was in the beginning, and He was with God, our Heavenly Father, and He was God. Jesus, in second person, is no less God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And verse 3 says, and all things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And my mind went back to Genesis 1:26, where God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And then here's an interesting thing. I don't know that I previously thought about it, but it came to mind in my studies. But He says, and let them. He speaks of let us make man. That's singular. But then God says in the next sentence, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air, and over the cattle and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Now, here's my thoughts on that. God said, let us make man in our image. Well, who was the us? Man had yet been created. So when God said, let us make man, who was He talking to? Without any shadow of a doubt, as far as I'm concerned, the Father was talking to Jesus. Jesus the Word. Jesus the living Word. And the Father said to Him, let us make man. And He did. He created him from the dust of the earth, the Bible tells us. But it wasn't good for the man to be alone, and so God created. He caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. The second chapter tells us that. And He took a rib, and He used that rib, and He made the woman. So actually, they were both together in that original created body, because all that was a part of that body, He took the rib, and He made the woman. And so God knew. He didn't just, snap His finger later on and say, man, I wish I'd thought about this earlier. God knows the end from the beginning. It's one of the marvelous things about our God. Nothing will ever take Him by surprise. Coronavirus didn't take Him by surprise. Nothing we do takes God by surprise. God said, let's make man. But He knew He was going there to create the woman. And from there, mankind would come and let them have dominion over everything, all the other creation on the earth. And that's the word John mentions. When you read the first chapter or two of all of the four Gospels, they all begin in a little different way. It's like they've got a spotlight, and they spotlight this, and the other one spotlights that, and the other one spotlights that, and some of them talk about the wise men coming, one talks about the wise men coming, another talks about the shepherds coming. But John doesn't start there. John reaches all the way back to creation to talk about Jesus and say, in the beginning was the Word. Capitalized in the Authorized King James Version because it denotes deity, God. And so he was with God and he was God. So when you understand that Jesus is the Word, it's very important truth for us to understand. Let me give you another verse. 1 John 5:7. I've quoted it to you more times than I can count. But it's a wonderful verse to me. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word. Check it out. 1 John 5:7. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So Jesus is referred to as the Word. Now I want to share with you another little passage. And if you want to turn to it very quickly, it's Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. But I'm going to read verses 12 and 13 to you because I want to point out some very important truths. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God, listen carefully to the reading, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Now we'll pause right there. Because what I've discovered over the years is that a lot of the people that I've encountered and talked about this scripture, they say that it is the written word. I'm going to show you today why I don't believe that it's the written word. It's the living word, Jesus. And here's why. Because it says this word that can divide us under the soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Now, can you explain to me how the written, inspired Word of God knows what intents are in my heart? I don't understand it. If you do, you can explain it to me. But I can understand that if this Word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, you look in Revelation, there is this sword, visionary, that comes out of the mouth of Jesus. But this word is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Now look at verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Not its sight. Well, the Bible, first of all, doesn't have sight. It doesn't have vision. But this word does have sight that he's talking about. Neither is any creature not manifest in his. That's a personal pronoun. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's Jesus. Now how do I know that? Because when you read the other verses, 14 through 16, you will see that the very next verse he says, seeing that we have a great high priest, this one whose eyes are open to see all that we are naked and open to him. He is seeing them then. We have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Brothers and sisters, I can't get anything out of that except that it is the living word Jesus that is being described there. And that's the word here, John 1:14. And the word was made flesh. Now, having established, at least as best I can, that those verses were about the Word, so this is not the only place in the Bible Jesus referred to as the Word. But it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that verse, verse 14, there is just no shadow of a doubt in my heart It's talking about Jesus. The Word was made flesh. You say, well, when did that happen? Well, when he was born of the Virgin Mary. We go back in time 700 or 800 years before he was born. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. That's Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 7, verse 14. He prophesied that a virgin would bear a son, conceive and bear a son, a virgin. And when you read the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find, as was in our midweek lesson, that she was a virgin when he was conceived, and she was a virgin when he was born. That's what the scriptures tell us. But when this virgin gave birth to the Son of God, that's when the Word was made flesh. You know, over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, about 34 I believe it is, prior to that, God sent an angel named Gabriel. And that angel carried to Mary a message, quite unexpected to her, that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. And her response was very simple. How can this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And then the angel explained it to Mary. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. That's 35th verse of the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. The Word was made flesh. God said 700 years somewhere way back there that a virgin would bear a son, and Mary was that virgin, and Jesus was that son, and he came into the world, and the Word, when he was born, was made flesh in this world. And his glory was as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, so he became flesh. Another verse I love, and it connects here. The fullness of time was come. I like that. God has a time to things, brothers and sisters. Your timing and my timing, they may be long ways off from God's timing, but God has a time and purpose for all things. And when the fullness of, I might add, God's time was come, then she brought forth Jesus. He came in a body of flesh, born in the womb. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, listen to this, made of a woman, not a woman and a man, not natural birth, virgin birth. That's Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. I don't want you to take my word to say, well, he's my pastor, I've got to believe what he says. That's why I give you the Word of God. If you write it down, or if you can remember it, I'm getting to the place where I don't remember like I used to. But I want you to build your beliefs and your hope and your faith on what's in this book, not what's in my ideas, but what's in God's Word. And so the Bible is clear. The Word was made flesh. And Jesus was born into this world of a virgin. He grew into a man. And he died for our sins. But now this 14th verse goes a little further. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that is, among humanity, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. God the Father never before, and my understanding of the Bible is accurate, he never will again send anyone else into this world by virgin birth. If you take the translation, it was a young woman. I was born of a young woman. Most of you were born of a young woman when your mother was young. Millions of people being born on the earth today, they're being born by young women mostly. You try to find a Savior in the millions or billions of people who have been born and are being born of a young woman. How are you going to find that needle in a haystack? Might as well give up before you start. But God did something one time and one time only that would identify His Son. So we wouldn't have to wonder, is that world leader Him? Is that prophet Him? Is that religious leader Him? We don't have to worry about that. No. It's Jesus who was born of the Virgin about 2,000 years ago. So, He was made flesh. He dwelt among men. His glory, the only begotten of the Father. Now listen, full, Jesus, full of grace and truth. Let me talk a little about that. You ever thought about His grace? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 40, tells us about Jesus after He's born of the Virgin Mary. The child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Think of that. Luke 2:40 tells us all of that. That Jesus was born. Just didn't live on this earth. A little baby. That little baby grew into a small child. That little small child grew into a bigger child, eventually into an adult who began to preach and teach things the world didn't want to hear then, they want to hear today. It's not changed in that matter. But he grew in wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. That's why we believe in saved by grace, brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sinners needed it, but we sure didn't deserve it. But that's His grace. That's why Peter said in Acts 15:11, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. See, He was full of grace. And we believe that by His grace, we are saved. Did you know that's one of the most glorious subjects in the Bible, the subject of God's amazing grace in Christ Jesus our Lord? Did you know it is one of the last things to be found in the Bible? You know what the last verse is? 22:21. I believe I'm correct in that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's how the Bible ends. By reminding us of a blessed hope in a wonderful Savior and His amazing grace in your life and mine. But John said there's something else there. He's not only full of grace, He's also full of truth. Now look in this same passage. You still got your Bibles open there. Let's look at verse number 17 here. Just two or three verses down from my text. For the law was given by Moses. But here it is. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So there is His grace that has come to us. Grace and what else? Truth. That's what He says in that 17th verse. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's not just the grace. He came full of grace, yes, but also full of truth. He is the truth. Remember in John 14, verse 6, what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. Write it down. Read it. Confirm your faith in the Word of God. I'm human. I make mistakes. You read the Word of God. I believe the Word of God is inerrant, inspired of God. So, he had grace and truth. He is grace and truth. And because of that, we have a hope. And our hearts are blessed. And we are free. Did you know that? Because Jesus has grace and truth. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We're free today. Because the truth of God is that God did send His Son. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, who is full of grace and truth. And when we know the truth, we know that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world as our Savior. And that He paid the debt you and I could not pay when He died for our sins on the rugged cross. Brothers and sisters, that's why God's people have been celebrating Christmas for a long, long time. Started a long time ago. They didn't know exactly what day he was born, but they wanted to celebrate. Christians have wanted to celebrate the birth of their Savior into this world. And it became known as Christmas. 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 And I'm going to tell you, it bothers me. It may not bother you. But it bothers me that the world we're living in today is getting so that they don't even use the word Christmas anymore. You watch. You won't hear it from the world out there very much. It's season's greeting and happy holidays. But you know why? Now, this is my opinion. The reason people won't use the word Christmas anymore is because they don't even want the name Christ on their mouth. That's how much they hate Him. Had no use for our Savior. But I'm not going to give in, are you? When I'm telling somebody what this season is, you know what it is? It's Christmas time. It's about Christ. Christmas would mean nothing to me. You know, you have your children, you have Christmas, the family, children grow into adults. And you know, Christmas is not the same as it was when our children were small. It all changes. But I still celebrate Christmas. Just thou and me. We will celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day. Now, we'll be with our daughter and our son some, but the celebration of Christmas is because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Don't let the world talk you out of using the word Christmas. You know, somebody might frown at you, cut their eye at you if you use the name Christmas, but hey, he suffered a lot from me. I take that a little bit. Ridiculed by others who don't like his name. I'm so thankful I can stand here today and tell you a little bit about our Savior, who is the Word of God, manifest in flesh, lived among men, and was our Savior, the Son of God, who was filled with grace and truth. And the Lord help us to always remember, no matter what, about Christmas we enjoy. Maybe it's the lights. Maybe it's the gifts. Maybe it's the decorations. Maybe it's just a happy time. But let's always remember, for the Christian, Christmas, the whole season of Christmas, and especially Christmas Day, is about the birth of Jesus. As long as I can remember, and folks, I'm old enough, I can remember a good long time now. But if I'm not making a mistake in forgetfulness, as long as I can remember, on Christmas Day, we took the Bible and we read about the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day to be reminded of what it was. was all about, the birth of Jesus. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas season. We got another Sunday before we get on toward closer to Christmas, but I just wanted to preach to you about Jesus. He's been on my heart all long. I woke up early one morning. This just came onto my mind and heart. I've just been waiting to preach it to you. Thank you for being here and letting me do that. God bless you. Keep you through this wonderful season. Hope it'll be a happy season for you. And if you have a day or something happens not too happy to you, just remember to say, yeah, but this is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. God bless you. It's my prayer for Christ's sake.